We're back with Teacher Talk, sponsored by the Columbus Education Association, who is solely responsible for the views expressed. I'm Sue Miziak, your host. Before we begin tonight's program, I'd like to express my appreciation to all the educators out there who are striving to help their students on this National Teacher Day. We know that a good classroom teacher is one of the most important factors in a student's learning success and preparation for the future. I hope that everyone will take a moment today and thank a teacher who has made a difference in their lives. Well, now on to Teacher Talk. In the 21st century classroom, learning and technology go hand in hand. On tonight's program, we'll talk about a Columbus City School iPad project that is changing the way teachers teach and the way students learn. Joining me this evening are Columbus City School employees, Cindy Wright, who is a teacher in the district, and Andrea Richardson. Welcome to Teacher Talk, Cindy and Andrea.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sue.
I'm so glad that both of you could be here. I'm looking forward to learning more about the iPad project because, it's no secret, I love technology. I love it all, and I don't understand it all, can't do it all, but I have to say it is something that is a vital part of my life and was part of my teaching life. But first of all, enough about me. Let's learn a little bit about the two of you. Cindy, tell me about your professional experience with the Columbus City Schools.
Okay, this is my 25th year in the district.
Good for you.
I've been a classroom teacher for 15 years. I taught mostly in the middle school, and I taught reading and language arts, I think, for 9 years, math and social studies for 2, and then computers for 4.
You do it all.
I do have a varied experience in the classroom, 15 years. And then for the last 10 years, I've been working as an instructional technology specialist and now as a 21st century learning specialist.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get into the whole technology thing? I mean, that started when you were a classroom teacher, obviously. How did it happen to grab you? I know how it grabbed me, but...
You know, it goes back, if I think about it, I remember working with Apple IIe's.
Me too. I was going to say it was the Apple IIe.
Yeah, I worked with the Apple IIe. At the time, I was teaching at Monroe, mm-hmm. and I believe I was a reading language arts teacher at the time. But my master's degree, which I started working on 3 years after I became a teacher. So in 1991, I started working on my master's degree. It's from Ohio State University, and it's in instructional design and technology under educational policy and leadership. Mm-hmm. So I've been interested in technology, working on that. I actually achieved my master's in 1994. So during that time, I remember the first time I was on the internet was in 1992.
Mm-hmm,
so, right. And that was real exciting for me. We were working on email with someone from Australia. So it just intrigued me. I found it fascinating. I would take the Apple IIe home over the summer break, even though, you know, it didn't have a hard drive or anything. I would do Oregon Trail and those types of things. So naturally, just being intrigued by that, you know, the interest that the computers brought to the classroom and how it could change the classroom. I was actually a teacher, I think this was in 1991, with the Apple Classrooms of Tomorrow, which was at West High School, which I think you said you were involved in at one time.
Oh, I was in it the whole time.
Yeah, so that was an extensive training right. That summer. I received a MacBook computer then. I think it was a Mac LC 575. And then from there, that training really immersed how you bring in the curriculum into using the technology.
And that's the most important thing. And that's what you are doing now with the iPad. Well, Andrea, tell me about your experience with Columbus City Schools, because you aren't a teacher, but you really fulfill an essential role in what is going on in our district.
I started with Columbus City Schools over 8 years ago, and I was working in the central office, and I moved over to curriculum leadership development about 2 years ago. It was a great opportunity, and I was really intrigued about what they were doing. And
I want to backtrack just a little bit. In what capacity were you working in these positions?
Oh, okay. So when I worked central office, I worked in budget and office management, financial management there, and I worked with federal grants, and that's kind of how I got started in all this. Because I would see all the different programs that would flow through with the grant money mm-hmm. that was coming through the district. So I helped with the budgeting and the planning with the different programs and projects that came along with that were federally, state, or privately funded. Then I moved over to curriculum leadership development, and I still work with budgeting and planning, but more so about doing the research and also being able to find academic programs that have emphasis with moving towards 21st century skills, which is what I do now. So.
Right, right. Well, you know, and actually, one of you can't exist without the other, because we need Andrea to find that money and to find those grants and that, so that Cindy can work with teachers and students to use technology, and the money has to come from someplace. So
we actually did. That's how we originally first met. I was working for the EETT grant, which was Enhancing Education Through Technology, and she was the budget manager for that grant. So she and I would work together to order the equipment and do the professional development vendors that might come in to provide that professional development. So through those federal grants, that's how we actually met.
Mm-hmm. And it is. It's so essential that, you know, different aspects, different people in different positions in the district work together. Well, now, Cindy, what is the mission of the Department of Instructional Information Services? You know, I know that. What are the kinds of things that you deal with? What is the purpose of this department?
Well, when we talk about technology integration, we really want to try and change the pedagogy, the way teachers are approaching technology. We do not want to just see technology to be used just to say, I've used the technology, not necessarily looking for a substitute. So instead of using a chalkboard, just using a whiteboard. We're not really looking for that. We want to go a little deeper than that, and we want to actually see that the technology it's the best usage of the technology. So it's not always going to be used. It's going to be used when it fits into the situation the best way. And that really, that technology is really thoroughly planned and structured in a way that it's going to change the learning experience. So I could just have students type on a computer. I could have them open up Word and just do a journaling activity. And instead of using paper and pencil, they're doing it on the computer. That is sort of a substitution of the technology. Mm-hmm. But we really want to see, especially now when we're working with iPads, we really want to see that we're taking it into different areas, maybe blogs or wikis, and we're having comments, and it's taking a more global approach to it. So I think the mission, when we talk about for Instructional Information Services, is really looking at the best design and use of technology, not just for the sake of saying we're using technology, but to really change the way it's being used in the classroom, to reform the classroom, to look at new ways of teaching kids.
Mm-hmm. And I can remember that when I was working in the ACOT program, which you already alluded to coming through the training there, that was precisely the types of things that we were trying to do. You know, but it had to become something very normal for students, something that they would come up with new ideas.
It's seamless, right?
Seamless, right, right. It's a tool that, but you don't necessarily use it as, and I like the way you said, not necessarily as a substitution for some other type of activity.
It's the best tool, right?
It is the best
for whatever
tool.
It is that you're trying to do. You're looking for the best tool for that.
Right. Well, now, Andrea, you are the supervisor of the Department of 21st Century Academic and Strategic Design, and you've already alluded to the fact that this is kind of a situation where you're looking ahead to future types of perhaps learning, and also what are going to be the needs for students in the future. Mm-hmm. So what kind of work does your department do?
Well, in addition to what Cindy said, what we do is basically we find through nationally, internationally, research different programs that are projects or programs that are best practices throughout the nation or throughout the global world, really, so that we can find something that we can bring into our district, say, okay, this is working for the 21st century, and how do we integrate it? Now, currently with the iPads, we are trying to find something that with an emphasis on technology to integrate into the instruction with the teachers and the students, but also we do look for other programs that are 21st century, because the iPad is just a tool, but we're actually looking at the 21st century learner and how we engage the 21st century learner also.
So you'd have to go ahead and when you're looking at these other programs, you'll have to look at, well, what are some of the goals of these programs? Does that seem like something that will help students in Columbus City Schools as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the whole thing is just geared towards making sure that we achieve our goal, which our mission statement is, and that is to have each student be globally prepared for 21st century. So that is part of my directive to do, is to find the best way for students to meet that goal.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Andrea, I feel, too, that this really kind of fits right in with actually some of the recommendations of the Columbus Education Commission, you know, because they're really focused on these skills that students need to have. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, as I said earlier in my introduction, technology is essential in almost any aspect of business, any aspect of the world of work. There's going to be some type of technology that's involved in that, and our students need to be comfortable, even if it's not with a specific type of technology, but with the whole aspect of using technology, so they can move into either training programs or into jobs, mm-hmm. careers in which they're going to be able to pick up on what the technology is there. Well, now, Andrea, about a year ago, I guess around 25, 26 Columbus Middle School teachers applied for and won grants, which furnished each of them with an iPad cart. And I'm going to ask you to tell me about the grant process, because you were the one who kind of got a lot of this going, I know. And so tell me how they got this, and then what all was included in this iPad cart, in this package that the teachers received?
Okay. We actually had a lot more applicants, but we could only afford to award 26 applicants. Okay. So in that process, the grant process, we met with different individuals, and we did research about what should be included, what should not be included in the grant process application itself. But in the end, what we decided the requirement would be is that when they submitted their application, it would have to be aligned to the Common Core standards that they have.
Sure.
And then they also had to demonstrate in their application that learning would indeed be a part of the curriculum piece of it. And then the other part to it was that they had to present in their application an assessment or evaluation plan as to how they were going to evaluate their own individual application, and that plan had to describe their process, and then also they had to have principal support and sign off on it before they could submit the application. Now, with that, they were able to design their own project, MIDI mm-hmm. project, because the whole idea of it was we didn't want to say, okay, we're just going to give you this and you're going to do it this way. No, mm-hmm. this is a pilot. We wanted
right.
to make sure that you had the experience and you designed it the way you wanted to do it, because you're in the classroom, you're instructing, and this is the opportunity to say, I want to learn to do this and I want to present this to my students, so then that way we can get a well-rounded response back to the application process and the end result of what we found after we did the pilot.
Well, Andrea, you raised some questions in my mind here. Then when these teachers applied for this grant to get the iPad cart, did they have to already have in place a specific proposal as to what they were going to do, or was it a more general thing? In other words, we're going to work toward this goal of this kind of learning, mm-hmm. or did they have to say, you know, on day 1 through 5, we're going to do this? Or did they have to be very specific and have a really well thought out proposal? Because I like the pieces you mentioned, like mm-hmm. the whole assessment thing and mm-hmm. all of that, and tying it to the Common Core standards.
The application themselves, they had to name the project, give it mm-hmm. a title. They had to say in the application their content area or their area of focus.
Mm-hmm.
They had to explain in detail what they wanted to do. Some applicants, they gave, like, you know, day 1 or day 25
right.
or something like that. It just, again, it was how they wanted to design it. But the understanding of it was that they had to meet those two requirements and then explicitly say in the application how they were going to meet the requirements.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great, great. Now, Andrea, what all was included in the package that the teachers received? What all was on this cart?
Okay, so in the cart itself, they had, it's a rolling cart, and it had, or it has, excuse me, a MacBook, 30 iPads, Had all the connection cords. The wireless access point was added onto it later, because we are not a wireless district, so
right.
We had to make sure that they had the capability to access the internet within the classroom. And the whole idea was to put the access point on the cart so it would be mobile, so that if they had to, they can move the cart around if mm-hmm. they needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So they had that, and then we also did different peripherals that we used later on. Like we had the Apple TV, which gives the students the capability to sync up their iPad to the Apple TV, which is connected to a projector, and they can project out onto a screen or a wall their presentation that they were doing in a different productivity apps, and one of them being Keynote, where you can do a presentation.
Mm-hmm.
They also had vouchers that, and they were given a dollar amount so they can buy apps, but we are working towards finding free apps because there's a limited fund.
Right.
So then that way we wanted to make sure that, one, that the apps that they're using are vetted and they're appropriate for the use in the classroom, and then two, if we could find something that was free before we would do a purchase, so then that way we can stretch the money a little bit further.
Right, and that's so important, mm-hmm. especially when you're working with that many teachers. Well, now, one of the most important things that comes along with new technology is know-how, and that is not only how to use it from a technical aspect, but also how to incorporate it into the classroom learning. And I know that there have been times in the past where individuals, teachers, districts have gotten a windfall of all kinds of wonderful technology, and nobody knew exactly what to do with it or how to best utilize it in the classroom. And that's where my guest, Cindy, comes in, because, Cindy, you have a long history of working with technology in the schools, and you know the value of training teachers to utilize this equipment in the classroom. So what kinds of instruction do teachers need when they get this wonderful Christmas present of this iPad cart?
Well, we in this particular grant, we did have a timeline, I guess you would say, of professional development. Our first session started in August,
mm-hmm.
and we actually had the Apple trainers come in and do. We purchased three paid apps, which is sort of like the iWork suite as far as Apple goes, so that they would get Keynote, Pages, and Numbers. Those are three productivity apps, and they're very widely used with iPads. So we had the Apple trainers come and do 2 days' worth of training on that. So, I mean, when you approach something new, naturally the teachers needed the skill first of how to use the technology. So we did have to go over just basics of the iPad, you know, the home screen, what the buttons are to do the sound. How to swipe, how to, you know, all of those types of things, because that's one of the first things you have to do. I mean, you have to at least get the basics. Then we brought in the software, which was those apps that they were using. Then from there, we've had monthly PD sessions with the teachers, which we've varied our professional development based on their needs.
Okay, let me interrupt you there. These monthly meetings, do they all come together in one place, and then you go through the and maybe even find out what are common issues?
Yeah, absolutely. That's probably, I would say, as far as the professional development for this rollout of this grant, I've told Andrea before, it's been excellent, because what you're doing is building a community of learners. Mm-hmm. These teachers are coming back together every month to share their ideas, share their best practices, what's worked for them, what's not worked for them. When we talk about solutions for things that have come up, you know, we have had some issues along the way that we've had to address. That community really is the best thing as far as the professional development, because they're learning from each other.
That is really one of the most valuable things that you can do. And when someone, you know, listens to a peer or talks with a peer and finds out that, oh, I'm not alone, I'm not the only one who's had this problem or who wasn't quite sure how to deal with this, and then maybe someone else steps in, and it doesn't have to be you, does it, Cindy? Somebody else can step in and say, ah, but here's the way you can get around that.
And it's been really nice, because they're empowering each other as they go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm there as their guide, trying to give them direction, but then to also have each other, you know, share those examples and stories of how things are working. They're really empowering each other,
let's get some examples here. Now, what are some things that you have done to help teachers, maybe from, let's say, the technology aspect, what are some specific things that you have had to do that, you know, have aided these teachers?
Okay. When we first brought these in, we're using something called the Apple Configurator, which we're very concerned about making sure that we're filtering the content, because like Andrea mentioned, we do have a wireless access point now in the room, and we do have to address student safety with the internet. So we are filtering everything through our CCS filter, so we don't have to worry about that. But just some of those training aspects with the technology, trying to get the teachers, you know, how do they work with the configurator? How do they load the apps? We talked about that they're putting on free apps, picking the best apps for whatever it is, the content that they're trying to cover. The teachers, we've had to work through looking at apps critically. You know, is it really going to address Common Core, other student goals that we're trying to address, 21st century skills? Are students going to actually be thinking more critically, using higher order thinking after they use these apps? So designing really good lessons, I would say, is where some of the professional development that I've been able to offer has come in. We have also learned iMovie, which was one of the things that the teachers wanted. That so we've sort of each month we've let them bring to us what they need. We've provided a general outline of professional development. But like I would say, for every professional development, you have to do an analysis of what are your, you know, whatever your audience needs are at that
time. That's right.
That's where you want to go.
You have to go to where they are. Well, now, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I really wanted to know a little bit more. And this was just, we're going to just touch this briefly because we know that this happens. Sometimes there are issues. Sometimes there are some problems which accompany, especially when it's technology. Would either of you like to mention, you mentioned security already with the wireless network. Anything else that teachers would bring into play? Either from the pedagogical point of view or from the technology point of view?
Well, it is a pilot, so let me just say that.
That's right.
And as we progress along in this pilot, everything that we do and everything that touches it, you know, there's going to be problems. So there's nothing that's going to say, oh, this is just absolutely wonderful. This is our first year doing it, and we're just moving along. So
absolutely.
And we're relying on research. Andrea has gone out and researched other school districts, so we're relying on some of that research. But, for example, everyone knows the Apple with Flash. There's a Flash-based issue. Some of the things that we have in the district right now that we would like to be using, we need a Flash browser to be using. So there's some little things that
like
we're working
that.
Around. Right.
But you know, and that's the great part, though, between doing research, as Andrea's doing, from your experience, Cindy, and from teachers helping each other, a lot of those problems can be solved. Well, now, we have very little time left here, so I want to ask about the students. What kind of projects or work are they doing? Can you give me an example or two?
I do have one of the things that our teachers are doing as part of the community is we're using a learning management system. We're actually using a couple of different learning management systems where we're bringing together a discussion board where they're reflecting and feeding back, you know, giving feedback to each other. I have different examples of the ways teachers are using these iPads and apps in the classroom, and I thought
I would just read a couple. Just give me one or two, and I want to hear also what the students have to say. We have very little time left.
Okay. For one example, I have a teacher who is having the students learn about parallel lines and transversals and all the angle relationships with it. Students use the app to find a map with a lot of different types of streets. Then they traced over different streets and drew arrows to angles and identified relationships. Before using the iPads, students were understanding the relationships but not knowing how to apply it. He created a guided checklist for them to follow when they were doing the activity, and then they were able to go above and beyond what he was expecting through the checklist, and that he could definitely see how using the iPads was really getting into more Common Core and also the higher
That's
skills.
What we want. So, very quickly here, do you have a quote from a student as to what they had to say? Because we're almost out of time, Cindy.
We did actually do a survey with students, and we have about 900 to 1,000 students. And here's one that I thought really sums it up. I feel that with myself and other students, it's less watching the clock to see when we get out and more focusing on the task at hand, our assignment. I also feel the assignments are somewhat easier for me because I'm better with electronics, as most students are in this day and age.
Wow, that is powerful. That is really, really powerful. And in other words, I'm enjoying learning. Andrea,
engaged,
what's the
yes.
future of this project? If listeners want to know more about it, what's the future?
Well, we're ending our first year for the pilot. We will continue in the second year, and we'll be focused on actual classroom engagement instruction for the second year. Right now, we do not have any funding to go any further, but if we could, I'm still researching, trying to find other funding sources. If anyone has any information or would like to contact me, they can contact me directly at Northgate Center. I'm easy to find. You can just call the number there. And the number there is 365-8993. I would greatly appreciate any information or any type of conversation regarding the pilot.
Okay, and that's contact Andrea Richardson. And, we want to keep this going. The kids like it. They're engaged. The teachers are finding new ways to teach. Kids are finding new ways to learn. But we need your help, community. Maybe we can get some funding or resources that will help this project to continue forward. I want to thank Columbus educators Cindy Wright and Andrea Richardson for joining me this evening. It's been a real pleasure having you ladies here.
Thank you very
much. Thank you.
And the project sounds wonderful. I want to come and learn too. This concludes our program. Please listen to Teacher Talk the first and third Tuesdays of each month. This is Sue Misiak wishing you a good night.